someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Money and character. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? It's good for you to know, as a child of God, that you don't have a problem with resources. Because Jesus shows us here that it is God that commits resources into people's trust. It's God that distributes resources, but He gives them to people that He can trust to manage the resources. So instead of, you know, harassing God to give you more money, develop your ability to manage it. He is the one who cleanses you from one level to the other. If you've read the parable of talents, you would have seen that. He gave... The parable is about a man who was traveling. He had a lot of money. He wanted to invest his money. He called his servants. He gave one talent to somebody, gave two talents to one, and gave five talents to one. And the Bible says there that he gave to each one according to his ability. Ability to do what? To manage it. So what determines what God gives you is not the degree or extent of your prayer. It's your capacity to manage. Jesus said, nobody puts new wine in old wineskins. He said the wine, the new wine, will be spilled. The wineskin will burst. So what God is more concerned about is our capacity. He commits resources to people's trust. Please take note of that. It's very, very important. And of course, most people do not realize that God is testing their ability to manage resources with the little they have. They're praying for more, but they don't realize that what they are doing with the little that they have is already saying a lot to God. A lot. Okay, you remember that master when he came back in the parable of talents? He says to the man with two talents who got 100% increase, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over much. That's how it works. And then he said, he established a principle at the end of the story. Take the one talent from this guy who could not multiply it. He said, and give it to the man who has 10. He was given 5. He got 100% increase. Now he has 10. He said, take the one talent from this guy, this unproductive guy, and give it to the man who has 10. He said, for to him that has, more will be given. From him that has not even what he has will be taken away. And I got the principle there, that resources will always flow from those who can't manage them to those who manage them well. So focus more on your ability to manage resources. It is God who commits resources into our hands. And then he says there, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You must appreciate the fact that in our country we overvalue money. We overvalue money. Invisible resources are more powerful than material resources. If this whole country gets that right, we will explode with wealth. The spiritual world created this material world. Okay? This material world is completely subject to the spiritual world. So invisible resources are more powerful than material resources. But then here, Jesus said, what you're doing with the material resources at your disposal will determine how much of God's invisible resources He's going to give to you. So, God tests our character, because the key word there is faithfulness, faithful. God tests our character with money. One of the best tools that God uses for testing people's character is money. Money reveals a person's character like nothing else. Now, poverty is making most people in our country to be desperate for money. And people are inventing all sorts of ways to make money. I should mention that making money through illegal means attracts curses. In Zechariah chapter 5, I read something that made me to make up my mind on how to make money. Zechariah 5, the first four verses. It says, "Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' So I answered, 'I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, "This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth." Take note, the curse goes out over the face of the whole earth. There is no escape from it. You can't jump, run away from one country, go to another one and escape this thing. There is no part of the planet earth where it cannot take its effect. Anyway, he said, "Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to that side of it. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with its timber and stones." See, somebody can succeed temporarily, I mean financially, can make a lot of money financially, but ultimately there's a curse hanging on the head of everyone who makes money illegally. That made me make up my mind. I'm not going down this route. I want to be around for a long time. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and adds no sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. That's the one I want. Okay? So, there's a curse hanging on the head of everyone who makes money legitimately. It doesn't matter how much honor, how much chieftaincy titles, how much promotion human beings give such a person. See, you can beat the rules in your office. You can beat the laws of this country, but you can't beat God's laws. You can't beat God, sir. There's no escaping from this. So my challenge is, we need all to make up our minds, because most of us are young people. We still have decades, if Jesus tarries, to live on this planet. We have to make up our minds now. We don't want to be carrying curses along the line. You know, the unfortunate thing about curses, they are transgenerational. If you read the Bible, you'll see them there, clearly. So there's no point courting trouble or disaster. This is God speaking here. Now, ignorance of how to make money legitimately has made most people in this country susceptible to deception. There is mass ignorance on how to make money legitimately. Money, because of the rampant poverty in this country, is a very, very puzzling subject for most people. It makes us subject to deception. Once you find someone who has a little bit more money than we do, makes us open to whatever they have to say. And on a daily basis, people are being recruited into corruption. People are being recruited into prostitution. Somebody goes back to the village, who's come to Lagos maybe after a year or two, goes back to the village, a lady decked up, driving a car. She was broke when she left the village. And then when she shows up in the village now, she's a superstar. And then she can talk to the young ladies there. "What are you still doing here? I went to Lagos. Things are happening in Lagos. Come with me. I'll show you how to make money." Talk to the parents. Even if the parents push them. Go. Go with your cousin. Then they bring them to Lagos. And then after two nights, they see how men are coming in and going out. And then the person who brought them says, "What are you looking at? What are you doing? Paint your face, change your dress, see how she's looking like a bush girl. Oh yeah, let me show you how to do it." Say, "Hunger will kill you. I will send you back to the village." This is how we make the money. Did you see the house I built in the village? I'm taking care of my parents. I pay school fees for my younger ones. And then they bring up powerful reasons. Okay, compelling reasons. Then they recruit. The recruitment is going on every day. Dr. Ruben Abati wrote last Sunday in The Guardian an article on how prostitutes, on a particular prostitute, reported in The Sun a few days before. In fact, the day before, Saturday 18th of April, named Sandra, whom Dr. Ruben Abati named her an assassin. Young lady, beautiful lady, virgin at 17, got admission to the university, went down to see her brother who promised to pay her school fees. 2 days after she got to her brother, he died in a car accident. Her dreams of going to university finished. She was going back to her mother. Armed robbers attacked their bus, lined up the women, raped all of them. Dangerous, terrible experience for her. And then she didn't even tell her mother, because rape in this country is just such a big shame. We'll talk about it some other day. How this society responds to rape. And she didn't tell anybody. And then she discovered she was pregnant. So she told her mom, aborted the pregnancy, and then discovered she had HIV. And knowing that it was just a matter of time before she would lose her life in the village, then a friend, like I said, the recruiters, suggested to her, look, since you're going to die anyway, why don't you go to Lagos? Do this business of prostitution. Make some money and take care of yourself. She agreed, came to Lagos, and made up her mind that she would destroy as many men as possible. The reporter who interviewed her estimated that by now she should have infected at least 4,640 men. Yep. She said she loves it when some men come to sleep with her without condoms. Even though she will pretend as if she doesn't like it so that they can bargain. She can get some more money, but she likes it. The ones who use condoms, she said she knows how she wriggles her body so that the condom will burst. Because she wants to infect people with it. Okay? So, well, I'm talking about, let's get back to the real issue. People are being recruited into prostitution on a daily basis. Lagos even sounds mild. They are being recruited to go to Italy, go to Europe. It's prostitution. Our young men are being recruited into armed robbery. People are being caught every week, almost every other day at our international airports, taking drugs out of the country. They've met women who put drugs inside their wigs. Most of them ingest or swallow these drugs, a dangerous thing to do. 2 weeks ago, somebody put some of it in, was it marijuana, inside kegs of palm oil. An elderly lady was caught. She put cocaine inside Gary and said it was baby food or baby milk. I feel like shedding tears each time I see somebody caught like that. And you ask them, they say they were to be paid $3,000 or $4,000. I think these are ignorant and stupid people. It's not worth it. I'm telling you, when you know how to make money legitimately, it's small money. It is. It's not worth risking going to jail for. Or ingesting those things. If one of them busts, to kill you. But that's the kind of a country that we live in, because there's poverty, rampant poverty. They say 70% of the country lives on less than a dollar a day. And people don't know really how to make this money. Fraud is rampant these days. See people's pictures in the newspaper. The police saying they're looking for them. Somebody ran away with the company's car. Or somebody stole 55 million naira or something. The thing doesn't even have respect for gender anymore. Men steal, women steal. Young people steal, old people steal. And it's because of ignorance. You can make money legitimately. Anyway, to make money, you need the combination that we discussed last week on career. You need character and you need competence. You need character and you need competence. Our emphasis today is on character, but let's talk first about competence for a few minutes. Money is only a means of exchange. In this church, God's given us such awesome revelations over the years on how to make money legitimately. And I can tell you, there are thousands of people here who have applied those principles and they have loads of testimonies to share. If you haven't gotten a good grip on them, ask people around you. Ask for the books we've written. Ask for the tapes that we have shared on finances. We can't be talking about only that all the time, but we have loads of stuff that are enough to change people's lives. We've seen loads of people who came to this church broke or near broke, whose lives have turned around big time because of the little insight and understanding that we have shared. That's the first thing I'll encourage you to do. Practical wisdom. Please get them. They are worth the investment. Secondly, the basic principles are these. You get money for the problems that you solve for people. Period. You got to have a product or a service to sell that will meet a need in somebody's life. You get money in exchange. Don't think that because you have the capacity to pray and speak in tongues and you can bind the devil and lose, that money will come to you. If you believe that, you also have been spiritually deceived. People who don't speak in tongues make money. Oh, you're just realizing that. So, we've taken the prayer and the speaking in tongues for money so seriously that some people now do night vigil every night, 7 days a week. They do it so much by daytime, they are useless. What you need most to work is your mind. People who use their minds make more money than those who use their muscles. But some people, their minds shut down in the course of the day because they spend the whole night. It's not that all night prayer is not good. Once in a while is good. But to be doing that every day, because you are looking for breakthrough, you will break down. When your name is not God, He is the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps. And that should tell you something about Him anyway. He's a workaholic. Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I walk." Walk is the secret. Listen, you must have a skill. That's what I'm trying to say. You have to learn a trade. There's got to be something you know how to do exceptionally well. If the only thing you know is how to speak in tongues, you know what you will get? Plenty of anointing, no money. Smoke will be coming out of your nostril like this with anointing, but you'll be broke. Except if your speaking in tongues can solve problems for somebody and they can pay you money for it. That's it. Then help us to put your tongues inside a bottle and label it. Tongues for headache. Tongues for stomachache. Tongues for passing exam. Tongues for getting husband to marry. Then we can pay you. Rampant ignorance. God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It's not that there's no place for speaking in tongues. When you do, God should give you ideas. When you wake up in the morning, then you have work to do executing those ideas. Then you get the money. And as you work and begin to make money, save some. save some money. You cannot be rich if you spend all the money that you make. You cannot be rich. Quote me. You cannot be rich if you spend all the money that you are making. Save some. And the money that you save, invest. I know the stock market is down, but it won't be down forever. Those who have been at it for decades know it goes down like that sometimes. But when it bounces back, it goes way beyond where it was before it went down. In fact, this is the best time to buy shares because the prices will still go up. Invest in real estate. Buy land. Go and buy. Buy land where there's nobody now. There was a time when where we are now, that is right now at the heart of Lagos, was bush. Dense bush. Now the properties sell for millions. Invest. Okay? Basic principles, but please get the tapes, the books, and the materials that we have. Well, let me wrap this up, just a few minutes. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. There we have the 9 factors of character, the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to show you how they apply to your finances. The first one is love. It says now the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love should be the motivation for doing anything that you do. You cannot love and fail. If you're starting a business, don't let the overriding reason be because you want to make money. You are likely, something is likely to go wrong somewhere along the line. Let it be because you genuinely love people and you want to clothe them. That's why you're in the fashion business. You genuinely love people, you want to feed them. You look at Nigerians, you feel that they deserve a better quality of life than they have, and you want to add value, quality to their lives in a particular area. You can't fail that way. Genuine love for people. The second one is joy. That talks about your attitude. You need to be positive and upbeat. Sadness drives money away from you. Proverbs 15:15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. He that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. You can have continual feasting. Okay? Continual feast. Joy. Peace. The next one. Perfect calmness in the midst of trouble. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind. Perfect calmness. Worry drives money away from you. You must conquer worry. The more you worry about money, the more it moves away from you. Don't focus on money. Focus on how you can add value to people's lives and solve problems for them. The money will come. Long suffering, perseverance or persistence. Listen, when you plan to build wealth, plan on the long term. This poverty in these countries made most people myopic. Short-term thinking. The whole country does short-term thinking. It's a national culture. But other countries that prosper have 50-year plans, 100-year plans. Where are our own 50-year plans? If the whole country doesn't have, you've got to have for your life. Most of us here are young, and I tell people, do a 30-year plan. There's no way you will plan your life to increase gradually, and in 30 years, you won't see that you'll be rich. Serious. Whatever your status is today, do a long-term plan, and please be persistent. Don't jump from project to project. Don't let your life be filled with abandoned projects. Stick with it. Kindness talks about your wanting to solve problems for people, add value to their lives. Goodness talks about you being generous. Be a giver. Proverbs 11:24-25, there's one that scatters and yet increases. There's one that withholds more than is necessary. It results in poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that waters others will be watered himself also. We finish the service here on a Sunday. There are people waiting to beg from other church members. And the more you beg,
the poorer you become, turn around and become a giver. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no longer, but let him rather work with his hands what is good, that he may have to give. The purpose of working and earning is not to eat or consume. He said that he may have to give, because the liberal soul will be made fat. What you get from working is your seed. Sow it. Make investments in other people's lives. Add value to other people. And then God blesses you in unusual ways. Give. Give to God's work. Give. Give to other people. Faithfulness talks about your being trustworthy, being reliable. You're having integrity. I'm telling you, if you really understand the way money works, integrity is cash. There are people today that I could ask, please, I don't have enough money to invest. I want to sell cement. Can you give me ₦1 million worth of cement? And they will gladly give it on the honor of my name, because I've not lied to them before and I didn't cheat or defraud them before. Integrity is cash, if you really understand it. Maybe I should add here that the whole country, this country, is poor today because of our lack of integrity. There's something called social capital, trust. In some other parts of the world, you can write it, walk into a shop, buy a dress, and pay with your check, and walk out, and they will allow you to go away with it. You know what I'm thinking, isn't it? If you try that here. But we don't know, all of us are paying for it. It's making us poor, because it's slowing down the rate at which we can do business and make money. Be honest. Gentleness requires that you treat people fairly and sensitively. Exceptional customer service. Treat people good. And self-control talks about discipline. Self-discipline. Self-discipline. Get out of the bed when you need to get out of the bed. Go and walk. There's no room for the lazy man in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10. He that will not walk, let him not eat. That's church. The fact that we love one another and we should care for one another does not mean we should now indulge one another in our indolence. Spirituality is no excuse for mediocrity in the house of God. You've got to be a diligent person. Move yourself to do what you need to do. Discipline. Saving some of your income is discipline. It's not that all your needs have been met. It's just that it's a principle. Keep at least 10% of that money back. It's discipline. And when you have discipline, then you know when to say no. Two-letter word. One of the most important words you will ever say in your life. We live in an environment where people want to make you to feel guilty for not giving them your money, because you have just a little bit more than they have. And many people here don't realize that this young person who has a fairly good salary is not yet rich, only has the potential to be rich. And while trying to carry load that God did not call you to carry, you go back and remain at the same level with everybody else. The Holy Spirit had to teach me. It's not every time you give that I bless you for giving. Because some of your giving frustrates my purposes in people's lives. There are people I'm trying to teach to trust me. Each time they have a need, they go beg somebody. And I'm trying to teach them to trust me. And you show up and you just, you know, you frustrate the process before I'm through with them. Because you are playing the role I should play in their lives. And he said to me, I should remind you, your middle name is not El Shaddai. If you pretend you are El Shaddai, you'll soon discover your name is I Shall Die. When I heard that, and I realized, if I'm helping people, I'm not saving, I'm not investing, preparing for the future, I will soon lose that capacity to help them. Be disciplined. Learn to say no when you need to say no. Someone says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall never wither, and whatever he does, watch your association, and please hang around God all the time. Fill your mind with his word and realize his wisdom is what you need. Ask him for help. Let him show you, because he knows where your money is. He knows where your money is. And the money is not too far away from you. But then further down from verse 4 of Psalm 1, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I tell young people, when we go to campuses, you know, to speak, I tell them, don't plan your life on corruption. Don't plan 15, 20 years of your life on corruption. That may be one of the major ways to make money now, but don't plan your future on corruption. I tell them, this country is going to change. This country is going to prosper. And I tell them, as this country prospers, we're going to build bigger prisons. Very comfortable. Wi-Fi, internet connection. And I tell them, that's where we're going to keep corrupt people so we can build this country. There's no point planning your future on corruption. Things are changing. I pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, that as you choose to do it God's way, God will arise on your behalf. He will intervene on your behalf. I prophesy that the curse of the devil running all over this country and around this continent, keeping people poor, impoverishing people who have been rich before, I declare that curse is broken away from your own life. Today in Jesus' name, every limitation and barrier to your financial prosperity is removed. I speak as a servant of God that every limitation, whether spiritual or material, human or whatever, standing on the way of your financial blessing is removed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy on your life wisdom. The next 30 days, God will show you where your money is. He'll tell you exactly what to do to move to the next level of blessing in your life. 15 years, 20 years down the line, if Jesus tarries, while others are going broke, God will multiply his favor on your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the days of toiling, struggling over money, those days are over. The days of crying because of lack of money, those days are over. The God that I know and the one who's intervened on my behalf, that God will arise on your behalf. He will show himself strong in your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I like to pray for that person in this service who will say, Pastor, the big problem is my relationship with God is not okay at all. Please pray with me that God should forgive my sins. I like to pray for that honest person. Please, this is not a time to stand up and move out at all. It's a solemn moment. All of us were born sinners. That's what the Bible says. That's the truth. There's nothing to be ashamed of. But someday you hear a message like this, you hear the truth, and you make up your mind to do it God's way. Jesus died for your sin and mine over 2,000 years ago. All we have to do is to ask him to forgive us. He does. That changes everything. He destroys the nature of sin from our lives and restores to us all the devil took from us. I'd like to pray with you if you're that honest person. Same Pastor Sam, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. If you're that honest person, please put your hand on your heart where you are. I'd like to pray with you right now. I'd like to pray with you. God bless you for your honesty. Somebody says, Pastor, I've been born again before, but I've backslidden into sin. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus today. I want to make it up to God. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? You didn't come to this service by accident. God brought you here to give you a new beginning. And God bless you. If your hand is on your heart for this prayer, can you please stand by your chair where you are? Let's pray. 1 minute and we'll be done. God bless you, sir. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Your decision determines your destiny. You make choices in life. Those choices turn around to make you. That's how life works. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, the decision you're making this morning will be affecting your life. God bless you for standing. If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins on the cross. And I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, let the power of the Holy Spirit touch everyone who is standing. And we thank you for the miracle of change, of transformation in their lives. We give you the glory for helping them to keep this blessing till the day we stand before you. In Jesus' name.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.